are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You're listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Stacey Gotsoulias. You can find Locked On Yankees on Twitter, all one word. You can find me on Twitter at StaceGots. Please feel free to tweet questions or comments to either account. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoy today's episode. We will be previewing a big series that starts tonight between the Yankees and the Toronto Blue Jays. Toronto right now is sitting four games ahead of the Yankees for second place in the AL East. The Yankees are currently one of the wild card teams, so they are still in the playoffs. If the season ended today, they'd be fine. But this is a big series, especially after the last series between these two teams when Toronto took 2 out of 3 up in Buffalo. So we'll see if the Yankees can reverse their fortunes this time. I'll give you any news you need to know and more, but first you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. As I said at the top, the Yankees begin a three-game series against the Blue Jays tonight at 7:05 in Yankee Stadium. Last week's series, if you remember, because it was only last week, was in Buffalo. Hopefully the Yankees' fortunes will be different this time around because they're playing at home. Let's hope it's the same situation as with the Orioles this weekend. The Yankees played much better at home against the Orioles. Tonight's matchup is Davey Garcia against Taijuan Walker. I'm reading blurbs straight from MLB.com's preview of this matchup. Walker's four shutout innings in his last start are deceiving as he walked five batters, but he still found ways to escape the danger. If he continues to pitch like he has across the rest of 2020, he could be the number two starter come playoff time. Because as I mentioned, the Blue Jays are currently holding a playoff spot, so that'll be good for them. It's been a little bit since they've been in the playoffs. Not that big of a deal. The bigger deal would be Seattle making the playoffs. Anyway, back to this preview. Davey Garcia notched his first Major League victory in Wednesday's outing, hurling 7 innings of 2-run ball against the Blue Jays to snap a Yankees losing streak. He's the reason why the Yankees weren't swept up in Buffalo. Hopefully he will continue this pitching streak that he has. He registered 6 strikeouts in each of his 3 starts. I like watching Davey Garcia pitch, and you know, he's not a big dude and he doesn't really throw the ball hard, but the movement on his curveball is just so nice to see. It's fun watching him pitch and exciting because he's so young, and this is giving us a glimpse into, it's not really giving us a glimpse into the Yankees' future. He's the Yankees' present right now, which is cool when you think about it. Before we look at the pitching matchup in game 2, let's do a quick injury update. It's been a while since I've done one of these. Both Gio Urshela and Jonathan Loaisiga are expected to be back for tonight's game against the Blue Jays. That's good news. Also good news, Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton should be back in the lineup this week. Aaron Boone said, "We'll ease them in. If we bring them back quickly, we'll probably see them play, then give them a day off, then play. We'll build them up, hopefully by that last week of the regular season, where we're going 3-4 days in a row." As I said yesterday, the Yankees, I don't believe, have an off day through the rest of the season. So you'll be seeing guys rested during games. The good news is Aaron Boone said that you'll see Clint Frazier play, that he'll be part of the team. And I'm happy about this because you guys know that I advocate for Clint Frazier all the time. He is doing really well now that he's getting regular playing time, and when Stanton and Judge come back, don't be surprised to see him play the outfield instead of Stanton, which is how it should be. especially because Stanton's injuries are always his legs, so the less running he has to do, the better off the Yankees are. I used to joke that sometimes I wish that there were pinch runners that you could use all the time who didn't replace the batters. Like if you had a slow guy who hit the ball well, you could put a speedy guy on the bases so you can guarantee that your team would score. And all he would do is run the bases for the guy, so when the guy came up for his next at bat, he wouldn't be replaced with the pinch runner. He would just be a runner. He would never become a pinch hitter. And hey, you know, since they're doing these seven-inning doubleheaders and starting with runners on base in extra innings, why not have pinch runners who only run and never bat? It's not that absurd of an idea now, is it? Okay, game two. Wednesday night, Yankee Stadium, 7.05 p.m., Tanner Roark against Gerrit Cole. Apparently, Roark was not pleased with being lifted after four innings his last time out, but regardless of how deep he goes, home runs and walks will be the key. As I mentioned the last time I previewed Tanner Roark, I mentioned that he's allowing both of those stats at career highs. But it doesn't look like, apparently, according to MLB.com, it doesn't look like he's far from finding his groove. As for Cole, I mentioned yesterday that he hurled seven scoreless innings against the Orioles and finally pitched like the ace that the Yankees signed him up to be. He struck out nine, only allowed two hits and one walk. Toronto does not have a starter listed for Thursday's game, which is another night game. All three games are night games, but Masahiro Tanaka is listed for the Yankees, obviously, because he's the number two starter and he is in the slot behind Cole. He relied heavily on his two-seamer in his start on Friday against the Orioles, and he did that because it was the second time he faced them in 5 days, and because of that, he kept them off balance for the most part. He got the win after hurling five innings of one-run ball. In a moment, we'll be looking back at this date in Yankees history, but before we do that, let's talk about rockauto.com. Because if you have a car, you need to go to rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. I would like to thank Pinstripe Alley for the heads up on this because I was going to look back at 10 years ago today anyway, but when I looked at the box score, it didn't tell the full story of the game from 10 years ago today. 10 years ago today was the game when Derek Jeter pretended to be hit by a pitch by Chad Qualls, and that got Joe Maddon thrown out of the game. And everyone was really surprised that the pristine Derek Jeter would do something like that, because he admitted after the game, a Yankees 4-3 loss, that he pretended to get hit by the pitch. So yeah, that was a moment. Non-Yankee fans already hated Derek Jeter because they thought he was overrated, and if he wasn't on the Yankees, he would just be a normal shortstop, and then this just really made things so much worse. Honestly, I liked it because I was sick and tired of people thinking that Derek Jeter was this great stand-up guy and that Alex Rodriguez was evil incarnate. And yes, Alex Rodriguez did do a lot of bad things, but Derek Jeter wasn't an angel, okay? And that game just proved it. So let's just look at the game, because I did yesterday's game 10 years ago, and that was the Greg Golson throw, and it helped the Yankees go up a game on Tampa in the standings, and then they lost this game, and they were behind Tampa by half a game? Or a full game? Wait a minute. Now I'm confused, because... Hold on. You know what? Let me tell you. I don't understand how the standings work. I've watched baseball my entire life. And I just don't get... Yep, okay. Tampa was ahead by a half a game because they had one less loss than the Yankees after this win. I was right. Okay, thank you. My brain does work every once in a while. Hooray! Okay, so as I said, the game was 4-3 in Tropicana Field. It was a big game because the Yankees and Rays were jockeying for the AL East lead at this point in 2010. And as I said, after the game was over, the Rays were ahead by a half a game. So... lineups, Yankees, Derek Jeter, Curtis Granderson, Mark Teixeira, Alex Rodriguez, Robinson Cano, Lance Berkman, Jorge Posada, Austin Kearns, Colin Curtis, Phil Hughes is your starter. For the Rays, John Jaso, Ben Zobrist, Carl Crawford, Evan Longoria, Matthew Joyce, Dan Johnson, Carlos Pena, Melvin Upton Jr., Jason Bartlett, and your starter was Big Game James Shields. Now the interesting thing about this game is... Phil Hughes picked up the loss. He pitched 6 2/3 innings. He gave up 4 runs on 6 hits. He gave up 2 home runs, but he struck out 5, didn't walk 1. And then Jabba Chamberlain came in, pitched 1 1/3, struck out 2, did not give up a run. Obviously, because the score was 4-3. Big Game James pitched 6 1/3, gave up 1 run on 8 hits with 2 walks, 8 strikeouts. He did not get the win. Because Chad Qualls came in, got a blown save, but then picked up the win. He pitched 2/3 of an inning, gave up 2 runs on 1 hit. Randy Choate pitched for the Rays. Grand Balfour pitched for the Rays. He got the hold. Rafael Soriano got the save. Soriano. That sounds a little better than Soriano. Didn't mean to sound that much like a New Yorker. The Yankees scored first in the top of the first, thanks to a Robinson Cano RBI single that scored Derek Jeter. In the bottom of the fifth, Phil Hughes gave up a home run to Dan Johnson, 2 run. Evan Longoria was on base because he led off the inning with a single. Rays were up 2-1. In the top of the seventh, Curtis Granderson hit... Colin Curtis lined out. Chad Qualls came in to replace James Shields. Derek Jeter... on the first pitch, pretends to get hit by the pitch. And then Curtis Granderson hits a 2-run home run to put the Yankees up 3-2. Then in the bottom of the seventh, Dan Johnson hits another home run off Phil Hughes to put the Rays up 4-3. And that's how the game would end. So I guess Johnson's home run was karma for Jeter pretending to be hit by the pitch. Of course, that's if you believe in karma. 15 years ago, the Yankees also played the Rays, although they were still the Devil Rays at that point. The game was also in Tropicana Field. Yankees won that one 9-5. Aaron Small was your winner, because every time I talk about a 2005 game, it seems that he's always the winner, except for the Randy Johnson game I mentioned on September 11th. But anyway, Seth McClung got the loss. I remember him. Mo picked up his 39th save of the season. 20 years ago today was a loss because, as I mentioned a few shows ago, the 2000 Yankees had themselves a rough September and they lost a lot of games. This was one of them and it was a bad one. They lost 11-1 to Cleveland. Now, how come it's always Cleveland that the Yankees lose these crazy games to? They lost 19-4 to them in 09. They lost, 22-0 that one time in September of 04, 05. Then there was another time I was at a game in, I was right. On Sunday, September 17th, 2000, I was at the game with my cousins and Cleveland won 15-4. It was miserable being at that game. Ugh. Cleveland scored 2 in the first, 1 in the second, 5 in the third, 6 in the fourth, 1 in the fifth. The Yankees did end up scoring their 4 runs in one inning in the seventh, but that was a horror show. Denny Nagel picked up the loss in that game. That's so funny. I just wanted to double check, but yeah, I remember sitting through an awful game against Cleveland, and that was the one. So yeah, Cleveland outscored the Yankees a lot in this series. In Friday night's game, the September 15th game, Cleveland scored in the top of the first, the top of the fourth, one run apiece, and then six in the sixth, three in the seventh. David Cone was the losing pitcher in that game, and that dropped him to 4-12 that season. Yeah, 2000 was not a fun time for Coney, so when he came in that game in the World Series when he got Piazza to pop out, that was pretty much his highlight of that season. Other than winning the World Series, obviously. I mean, you're part of a team and you win a ring, that's exciting. But personally for Cone, 2000 is probably a year that he'd want to forget. So again, before we end the episode tonight, Davey Garcia against Taijuan Walker. The Yankees are playing a three-game series against the Blue Jays. And it's a big one because, again, as I said, the Blue Jays are four games ahead of the Yankees in the AL East standings. Can you believe it? The Yankees are in third place. And just imagine, if they had played badly against Baltimore this weekend, they could have been in fourth place. And some news that literally just came across the wire, otherwise known as Twitter. As I said, Gio Urshela and Jonathan Loaisiga were going to be activated tonight. That happened, and the Yankees optioned Miguel Andujar and Mike Ford to the alternate training site to make room for Loaisiga and Urshela. So that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can subscribe to the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Tuesday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow. Oh,